Hey, this is Steve Allen. I'm the pastor of Destiny Christian Center in LaPlace, Louisiana. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Discovering Your Destiny broadcast. I hope it builds your faith, helps you to grow in every area of your life. Enjoy this message.
We are in a series, actually, it's like a mini-series. This is the third lesson, third and final lesson of this series. The title of this series is Goshen or Egypt. Your choice. I believe that the Lord has me dealing with this now so I can get you to a place of faith where you trust him no matter what you see. Because there's a lot of stuff going on in this world, and if you don't know who you are, you can be distracted. And because of what you see and because of what's yet to come, because this country and this world has some dark days ahead, and sooner than later. But I do want you to understand that God has a record of taking care of his children. Somebody say, I'm his child. So in our first lesson, we looked over in Exodus, where it talked about how in Egypt there was darkness so heavy that you could feel it. But in Goshen, where God's children were, there was no darkness. And then it talked about how the fields in Egypt had hail to come in and smoke the vegetation of the field. But in Goshen, where God's children were, there was no hail. Because God has a record of taking care of his children. So no matter what you see and no matter what you hear, you've got to realize that God is going to take care of you. You're covered. You're covered. Amen. I use this illustration and I'll use it again. Before I get into today's lesson, anybody here ever had a perm? You had a perm? You had a perm? Anybody got a perm right now? I don't see your hands. I was back in my wife and I first met. I used to get a little relaxer. I looked like Billy Dee, baby. But before they put the relaxer on my head, they would get some Vaseline and put it around my scalp. So while judgment was on my hair, the rest of my head was protected. And what I'm saying to you is, while judgment is going on in this world, God will protect his children. Yeah. Hey, look at somebody and say, I'm covered, I'm covered. So turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 47 and look at verse 27. This is our foundational text. Genesis chapter 47, verse number 27. Listen to what it says. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions thereof, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Now, in our first lesson, we looked at these words, Israel, Egypt, and Goshen. I gave you both the natural and spiritual definition of these words. I want to give you the spiritual reference to each of these words again today. Israel is a type of God's people, those who obeyed him, submit to his purpose, his plan, and his will for their lives. Those who commit themselves to God's system and God's way of doing things. Number two is Egypt. Now, Egypt is a type of the world. And all of those, it's a type of those who refuse to submit to God's purpose, his plan, and his will for their lives. Egypt is a type of the world's system. And then there's Goshen. Goshen is a place in God. Goshen is a place in God of supernatural protection, supernatural provision, supernatural deliverance that's connected to God's system and God's way of doing things. Now, in our first lesson, I wanted to establish a main point, and my main point is God makes a distinction between his obedient people and others. Amen. That's good news. God makes a distinction between his obedient people and others. And then on last week, in our second lesson, we looked in Jeremiah chapter 17. Matter of fact, you can start turning that way now. Jeremiah chapter 17. And there you'll find two men that we discussed on last week. The first man, the Bible calls him a cursed man. As a matter of fact, look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. It says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhibited. So this is the cursed man. Now, the second man is the blessed man. And we didn't get to him on last week, so we're going to discuss him today. Look at verses 7 and 8 in that same chapter. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So we have two men, the cursed man and the blessed man. The cursed man represents Egypt. The blessed man represents Goshen. Now, we looked at the cursed man who lives in Egypt last week, and we said that he was cursed because he had to face life without God's supernatural help. Now, you know that's a curse. Anytime you have to deal with this life without God's help, that's a curse. And then we discussed three characteristics of the cursed man. He places his trust in man, or he places his trust in man's wisdom. Number two, he makes flesh his arm, and he depends on flesh for his strength. And number three, his heart departed from the Lord, or he never considers God's word in his decision making. Anybody ever made some decisions without considering God's word and got yourself in a mess? You ever been there? You ever been there? In our closing last week, we briefly talked about the outcome of this man's life, and his outcome is that everything he did withered away. So let's look at this blessed man again. Look at verses 7 and 8. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Let me read this in the Amplified. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose help and confidence the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers that spread out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and fall of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease from yielding fruit. This is the blessed man. Somebody say, that's me.
That's me.
Come on, don't be afraid to say that. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Now, we know why the cursed man is cursed, because he has to face life without God's supernatural help. So this blessed man must be blessed because he has God on his side, and God is helping him to prosper. Now, I want you to hold on to Jeremiah, but I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. Keep your Bibles out if you don't mind. How many of you have your Bibles? You have your Bibles, your iPads, your iPhones, your Galaxies, all those different phones? Deuteronomy 8. 17 and 18. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. It says, he giveth thee power. So if God has given me the power to get it, that means that God is helping me. This blessed man is a person that's empowered by God to prosper. He's someone that God is helping, and I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I need God's help. Say that. Say, I need God's help. Now go to Proverbs 10 and 22. You there? Listen to what it says. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, listen to me. Don't be afraid of the word rich, because rich is not a bad word. Hunt your neighbor and say, rich is not a bad word. See, listen to me. It simply means to have a full supply. It means to have enough for you in your life that's consistent with godliness. And then beyond that, it means to have enough to be a blessing to the kingdom and a blessing to other people. I got to get you to the place where you get that little religious mind off of. You know, we say things that we call ourselves being humble, but it's really selfish. I don't need any more than enough. Listen to what we confess over our lives. I just need enough to pay my bills and just enough for me and my family. You know what that says? That says that you are selfish. God told Abram, I want to bless you and make you a blessing. You can't be a blessing if you don't have enough for you. This past week, we gave the school from the ministry, we gave them $2,500. Now, we could not be a blessing to the school if we don't have enough to keep the lights on here. Amen. See, God wants you to, now see, what God does not want is, he don't want you to be around just thinking about yourself. God wants you to be a blessing to somebody else, and you got to change your mindset. You got to change your mindset where you're saying, you realize that everything I have is not for me. Ooh, I lost 95% of the people in here. You got to realize that everything I have is not. See, God is not, I don't know, I haven't seen this yet. Maybe you have, and if you've experienced it, tell me where this happens, and I want to go there. But I haven't seen money coming from the sky. I don't have a tree at the house. I can shake it, and money comes. Every time God decided to bless me, he blessed me through somebody. And all I'm saying to you is, God wants to bless somebody else through you. But you have to want to be a, somebody say this with me, say, I want to be a blessing. Everybody didn't say that. Come on, say it again. Say, I want to be a blessing. So, God wants us to have more than enough. God is the God of abundance. And God wants you to have. So this blessed man, because God is helping him, he prospers. Now, I want you to understand something. When I talk about prosperity, I'm talking about total prosperity. I'm talking about prospering in your body when you're walking in divine health. I am talking about wealth, but I'm talking about also joy. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about your family being whole. I'm talking about your marriage being blessed. That's total prosperity, because you can have money and still be broke and still be miserable. I know a lot of rich people that are miserable. Some of y'all looking at me like, give me that kind of misery. But I know a lot of rich people. Who was it that said, man, I think it was you said it on your, I read it on your post and I quoted you about some people are so broke because that's all they have is money. It's rough when all you have is money. What good is it for me to have money and my family's all torn apart? What good is it for me to have money and my wife and I are not getting along? What good is it for me to have money and I can't buy a doctor that can heal me? I need total prosperity. You can buy the best bed in the world, but you can't buy rest. So I'm talking about, total prosperity. Now let me move on. There are two characteristics of this blessed man in Jeremiah 17 and 7. Here it is. He places his trust in the Lord. Number two, his hope or his expectation is in the Lord. So let's look at the first characteristic. He places his trust in the Lord. Question. How many of you here today trust the Lord? By the show of hands. I want you to look around. Look at all the hands of the people that trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Well, let's find out what it means biblically to trust the Lord. And then I want you to compare it to what you mean when you say you trust the Lord. The man who places his trust in the Lord has two qualities. Number one, he has confidence in God's wisdom. Number two, he has confidence in God's way. Now, talking about confidence in God's wisdom and talking about God's confidence in God's way, I want you to turn to Psalms 1 and 1. We're going to read 1 through 3. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Listen to what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So we're talking about this blessed man, and the two major characteristics of this man is he places his trust in the Lord, and we want to see what it really means to trust in the Lord. Now, when I looked at this text, I saw that to put my confidence in God's wisdom is manifested through three things. Number one is detachment. Say detachment. Number two is delight. Say delight. And number three is discipline. Now, to put my confidence in God's wisdom, there must be a detachment, there must be a delight, and there must be discipline. Now, let's look at detachment. Now, the word detachment means to separate. It means to separate yourself from something. So in order to put your confidence in God's wisdom, then you've got to separate yourself from other wisdom, from other kinds of wisdom. See, that's why that verse says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if I'm going to put my confidence in God's wisdom, then I have to have a spirit of discernment where I recognize advice that's not consistent with God's word. If I'm getting advice from somebody or I'm getting counsel from somebody that's not consistent with what God is saying, I can't take that counsel. And it doesn't matter, you know, how sincere the person is. It doesn't matter how close I am to them. If their advice is not consistent with Scripture, then I'm not going to walk in that counsel. See, a lot of you are messed up because you're taking advice from folk that's not hearing from God. They're telling you how they feel, or they're telling you what they saw on television. But if it's not consistent with Scripture, you're not supposed to take that advice. And I don't care how popular it is. I don't care how good it sounds. If it doesn't match God's word, you shouldn't take that counsel. Now, my question to you today is, who are you listening to? When you hit a rough place, when you're dealing with stuff in your life, who's the first person you call? And the person you call, are they giving you godly advice? I'll wait. Are they giving you having problems with your husband? And you call somebody that has three husbands, that done had three husbands. How are they going to help you? I tell you what I would do. What are you doing? Better get you, girl. That's stupid. You can't get, how are you going to have somebody that hadn't been successful in a certain area? How are they going to teach you how to be successful in that area? Come here, Tommy. Look at Tommy. How could Tommy say, you know, Pastor, I know you're getting a little older. Now, this is not the case, but I'm just using this as an example. Pastor, I know you're getting a little older now, and I'm starting to see you losing your hair a little bit. Mm-hmm. Man, you need to try that Rogaine. Man, that Rogaine is some good stuff. And I'm looking at Tommy. And I'm saying, well, Tommy, if that Rogaine is some good stuff, why it ain't working for you? See, you can't lead where you don't go, and you can't teach what you don't know. So, thank you so much. You've got to make sure that the counsel you're getting from folk lines up with God's word. Oh, that didn't go over well at all, but that's all right. That's all right. And then the scripture says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, hear this, hear this. So that means that I don't have to be with, and I don't have to do what sinners are doing in order to win them. I can't sit at the table drinking, cussing, and joking with them. Glory to God. Come on, preach, preacher. And think that I'm going to win them to Christ. You know, I think all of us need to evaluate ourselves. We all have family. We all have friends who are unsaved. And we all need to ask ourselves the question, who's winning? Am I winning them to Christ, or are they winning me to the world? I'm talking about the people that you spend a lot of time with. Am I winning them to Christ, or are they winning me to the world? Because whether you know it or not, somebody's winning. Somebody's winning. How is it that people can get you to go everywhere and you can never get them to go to church? Hunt your neighbors, tell them this, because they mean mugging me. Tell your neighbors, say, don't look at my pastor like that. Tell them, say, I don't allow that. I don't allow that. Who's winning? Who's winning? How is it that you make it to all the parties? You make it to all the gatherings. You make it to all the games. But you can never get them to come to church. I had one of my neighbors had a huge party last night at his house. And he invited me to come. He had a party called a Great Gatsby Party. Everybody was dressed up in old clothes. And he said, man, you just need to be there. It's going to be awesome, awesome. And I'm sitting there looking at him like, I've been inviting you to church for a long time. I ain't seen you yet. And I saw the people going, I wasn't going to no party. I'm trying to win. And my question to you is, who's winning? Because somebody is. Are you winning folk to Christ, or are they causing you to be more worldly? Who's winning? Who's winning? Actually, but who's winning? So this man does not stand in the way of sinners. And then the scripture says, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Huh. Now, that's talking about those that make fun of God. Those that make fun of the things of God. Those that make fun of your church. Those that make fun of your pastor. You ain't letting people talk about your pastor, are you? Those that make fun of your practices. People that call you a fool for forgiving folk when God told you when you stand praying, forgive. But you got folk telling you, you got to be crazy to forgive them. I'm forgiving them because God told me to forgive. See, I'm not going to deal with folk that's mocking the things of God. And see, you got to be careful dealing with folk that make fun of God's stuff. I'm not going to let anybody talk about my father. I don't let people talk about my mother. You know good and well, somebody in here, somebody says something about your mother, it's fighting words. And they don't even have to say it. All they got to say, your mama is on. What? What? Well, how in the world are you going to let people play with your father but not your mother? How are you going to let people talk about the things of God and the things that God has commanded you to do, the church you go to? And you sit there and you entertain all of that stuff. Don't mock the things. I don't let people play with me when it comes around to God. I tell them in a minute, don't play with my father. So this blessed man, he has to detach himself from certain things. The second thing is, there must be delight. The second verse says, this man delights in the law of the Lord. It's the thing that gives him joy. See, now most of us haven't gotten there. We haven't gotten to the place of delight. We're in a place of obligation. We wake up. Oh, Lord, I guess I better go in here and have some quiet time with the Lord. Oh, I guess I better get up and read my word, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, how long this man going to teach today? Lord, look like he's just getting longer and longer and longer. See, what you have is obligation. But there's some folk that delight in the word. And see, anything that brings you joy, you become self-motivated. People don't have to make you go to church. See, some folk got up this morning and said, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say today. But some folk just came because of religious obligation. Yeah, it's Sunday. I guess I better go to the church before I go to the game so I can feel good about myself. You're here because of your conscience. But I'm trying to get you to the place where you delight in the word. In other words, you're saying, God, I'm here to hear what you have to say. I know I don't like everything you say, but I'm getting better. It's like medicine. It may not taste good, but it's good for me. And we've got to get to that place where we delight in the word. And I'm going to keep giving you the word. I'm not going to entertain you. See, we used to get delight in entertainment. Yeah, we get, you know, if I was in here hooping, closing, but I heard a man closing the other day, I'm like, Lord, what? I ain't never heard no hooping like that. And the people was going crazy. And I, you know, when I first started pastoring, that's all I did, man. Y'all remember some hooping music? You remember how to do it? That's where I was. My whole sermon was geared toward the end. Ooh. And see, church would look at me the way y'all been looking at me all morning, the whole sermon. But when I got down to when they heard the organ, everybody said, oh, wait a minute. Now, we're about to have some church up in here today. And he said, I'm getting ready to close in our children. Yeah. They sound, ooh. And if I never get back here again, just come on up a little higher. Where every day. Every day we'll be howdy, howdy. Never goodbye. Oh. And then, boy, did I get my handkerchief? And people would delight. Woo, woo, woo. Woo, we had some church today. Man, what the preacher talking about? I don't know, but he was sweating. See, but I'm trying to get you to the place where you don't come to church for entertainment. I'm trying to get you to the place where you delight in what thus saith the Lord. Lord, I don't like everything you say, but I know I'm growing up. I'm getting better. I'm getting stronger. I'm a better husband. I'm a better wife. I'm a better father. I'm a better mother. I'm a better brother. I'm a better sister. I'm growing up. We got to get to the place where we love the word and we delight in it because we're maturing. I got tired of seeing folk in church for 20 years and still babies. Tell your neighbor it's time to grow up. I know good and well I can't do that. I don't even have the breath. I'm out of breath right now. So I'm so busy trying to catch my breath right now. Jesus, sweating and carrying, I'm all wet in it. Man, Lord, I can't do that. Lord have mercy. Y'all give me a minute. I have no way in the world I'm going to do all that, man. Oh, let me get some water. Jesus. Oh, I'm glad y'all ain't looking for that no more. Oh, all right. Let me find out my place here, Jesus. All right, where am I? Huh? Where am I? Yeah, delight. Yeah, that's it, delight. So we got to get to this place of delight. The third thing is discipline. Say discipline. Discipline. Now the second verse says, in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. Day and meditate on the word day and night. Not just in the daytime when folk can see you, but at nighttime in your quiet time when you're alone. You're still meditating on God's word. Ask your neighbor a rhetorical question. Say, what did you do last night? Don't answer, please. Don't answer. Don't answer. So scripture says day and night. Now that takes discipline. Discipline is knowing what you need to do and doing it. Doing it whether you feel like it or not. Can I confess something to you? Do you know if I prayed every time I felt like praying, it'd be a lot of times that I wouldn't pray? Not the pastor. Listen to me. I don't wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning talking about, oh, it's time to pray. The anointing of God is all over me. I feel like, no. There are times I wake up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, Lord, want to talk, and I'm like, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm not full of enthusiasm all the time, but I can't do what I feel like doing. I've got to have some discipline. There must be some discipline. How many of you ever go to work and you don't feel like going to work? Anybody here, anybody went to work at any time this year and you didn't feel like it? Let me see the hands of people that. How many of you wanted to stay in bed, but you got up and you went to work anyway? I said, how many of y'all wanted to stay in bed and you got up and went to work anyway? People didn't put their hands down like, yeah, I called in. But those of you that answered me, you got up because your confidence was in getting these monies. In your mind, you said, I got to go out here and I got to go get these monies. But we do God differently. I want you to listen to this. There must be some discipline. So to put confidence in God's wisdom and way, you've got to detach yourself from some stuff. You're going to have delight in the word, and you must have discipline. Now, when I place my trust in the Lord, that means that I have confidence in his wisdom and his ways, then I can have expectation of a certain outcome. The blessed man's hope and expectation is in the Lord. Now, I want us to look at the outcome and what we can expect. Look at Psalms 1 and 3 again for me. This is going to bless you. Look what that third verse says. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let me read it in the Amplified. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Now, go back to Jeremiah 17 and 8. Listen to what it says here, though. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, I want you to see the difference in the outcome of the cursed man and the blessed man. The outcome of the cursed man is in verse 6, where it says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. This cursed man is like a dry, barren tree in the desert. But in verse 8, this blessed man is in the same situation. It's not that his circumstances are different, but he's like a tree that's planted by the river, and his roots are spreading out, drawing from the water in the river. It's not that he has the absence of problems that makes him blessed. He's not in a situation where he's not dealing with an adverse economic situation. His difference comes from being planted and trusting in God, and because he's planted, now his roots are drawing from an unseen source. So even though things are drying up all around you, you don't have to worry, because your roots are planted and you're drawing from an unseen source. You're in the same situation with other folk. You're in the same neighborhood with other folk. You're in the same church with other folk. And some folk are drying up, but you're still growing. Because your roots are underground and drawing from the river, and the source is unseen, but the evidence is in your life. Good God Almighty. The Message Bible says this tree never worries, even through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf. We planted some trees several months ago. We planted some right along the parking lot, and then we planted two right out front. I noticed that the two out front are dead. And the ones over there are still green. So I called the man up. I said, "Man, you sold me two bad trees." He said, I know they're bad because they're the same batch. They all came on the same truck. They came from the same place. Y'all planted them at the same time. And I got two out front. They're dying. And all the other ones, they're living. You gave me some bad trees. He came out and he says, "Yeah, these are going bad. How often you water them?" I said, "Huh?" He says, "You got sprinkler systems hooked to the ones over there, but you have no water source over here. The reason why these are dying, even though they came from the same place and they were planted at the same time, some of them are getting water, and the ones that's not getting water, they're dying. They came from the same place. They're planted in the same area, but some of them are dying and some of them are living because these over here tapped into water." And see, you can have folk in the same church, hearing the same word, living in the same area. Some of them are flourishing and then others are dying. Why? Because the ones that's living has tapped into the source. It's an unseen source. Y'all ain't here with me. It's an unseen source. You may not be able to see it, but you'll see the evidence of it. Oh, y'all not here. King James verse says, listen to this. Her leaves are always green. The leaf is not the fruit, but the leaf is the appearance of it. Her leaves are always green means that this person will maintain joy and enthusiasm even during challenging times. Now, you know one thing I've learned about some Christian folk? Some folk are always tribulating. Can I say it like that? Every time you see them, they're a sad story. Oh, Lord. You know anybody that, you know when they come, you know some come, "Oh, Jesus. Your phone ring, you know, oh, Lord Jesus." You're almost afraid to answer the phone because there's never any good news. Always tribulating. Big old Bible under their arm, always in church, but always tribulating. Let me tell you something. You can't say that you live in Goshen and Egypt is all over your face. Goshen is a place in God where you can have supernatural joy during the times of trials and temptations. Her leaves are always green. Look at your neighbor. See if you see any brown leaves. Look on both sides of you. Let's see. See, listen to me. No matter what's going on in this world, God has a record of taking care of his children. Somebody say, "I'm his child." So say, "I'm covered." So I don't get moved by what I see. I don't get moved by how I feel. I don't get moved by what I hear. I put my trust in what God has said. And my leaves And listen to me, listen to me. This is going to be a part of our testimony. Because we've been talking about how good our God is, and the world's been laughing at us, but now the world's in trouble. But they're getting ready to see how God's going to take care of us. How we're in the same place, standing next to them on the same grounds, but we are flourishing. And they're trying to figure out, what is it about you? What are you doing? It'll give us a chance to witness to somebody and tell them that what you don't see is that my roots are underground, drawing from the river. Man, I'm not going to go into details. Whoo, but man, this past week, you know, I'm a businessman as well as a pastor. I was a businessman prior to being a pastor, so I still do business. Well, man, this past week, whoo, Jesus. Whoo, oh, man, God blessed me so much this past week. Whoo, I wish I could just tell you all about it. This is right in the midst of adverse circumstances, right in the midst of a messed up economy. God says, it was like he said, here. And see, that this is going to be a part of our testimony. God's children are getting ready to come up. Our businesses are going to be blessed. Everything we touch, everything we put our hands to do is going to prosper because we're God's children. I'm telling you. Now see, look how y'all want to look at me. But you know what? It's got to happen because I'm a seed sower. And the principle works. The principle works. If you sow seed, harvest has got to come. And you can't get mad at a man's harvest if you don't know anything about his seed. But we're getting ready to have testimonies that's going to be mind-blowing. While everybody else is talking about how bad things are, our businesses are getting ready to prosper. Look at your neighbor and just see if you see any more brown leaves, brown leaves. Text goes on to say, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The Message Bible says, serene and calm through droughts and bearing fresh fruit every season. Even though others are dry and in decline, we will never dry up. And I'm not going to compare myself with anybody else. I can be sitting next to a dried up tree, but I'm not claiming that for my life. Because I'm planted and I'm rooted in God. And I live in Goshen and not in Egypt. I am the blessed man. I'm not the cursed man. Say that. Say that with me. Say, I'm the blessed man. Come on, sisters, you can say that too. This has nothing to do with your gender. This has to do with position. Say, I'm the blessed man.
I'm the blessed man.
I'm not the cursed man.
I live in Goshen.
I don't live in Egypt.
I have God's
supernatural help,
supernatural protection,
and supernatural deliverance.
There's nothing you can get in that God won't get you out of.
So I wanted to teach you this because of what your eyes are going to see. I don't want what you see to get in you. Did you hear what I said? I don't want what you see in this world to get in you. You see, because what happens is when you start seeing things, you've got to make sure that you watch what comes out of your mouth.
Amen.
Don't pronounce what you see over your life. You make sure that no matter what you see, you keep pronouncing what God has said over your life. And it goes back to that council, people that you deal with, people that you're talking to, people that you're listening to, don't let them prophesy over your life. You know it's getting rough out here for us. Not for us, baby. No, not for us. I never forget when the gas prices went through the roof. I was at the gas station and the man was pumping gas and he said, "You with me?" He said he was pumping gas. He said, "Woo, man,
the gas is getting so high, we're going to all have to just stay home. I said, no. No, 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 no. I said, when the gas go up, that means God's just going to raise me up. You believe that for your life?
Yes.
We got to get ready. We got to get ready because God is going to use us to be a blessing to other folks.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the message today. If you're ever in the greater New Orleans area, please visit Destiny Christian Center at 612 Main Street in LaPlace, Louisiana. If not, you can visit us at destinychristian.org/radio.